Welcome to church. Hallelujah. Amen. I think I need a better amen than that. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And this morning, it's already afternoon, four minutes past morning. Praise God. I want to begin by showing you just a little bit of what we were doing in Zimbabwe. This is not much, but just some bit of in appreciation to your prayers. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for sustaining us in your prayers and the work that we are doing in Zimbabwe. Hallelujah. We have some groups of young people that we are training to serve God in the house of God. Because we are instilling, you know, taking their place in the house of God. Praise God. And then the Sunday before I came with our Holy Communion, just the clip for the Holy Communion. This is how, I'm sure you noticed a little corner where there's some drums. When we the first video clip, I'll tell you more about that little corner as we continue. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Let us pray. Father God, this morning, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for the grace that you give unto us, that enables us to come into your presence and call upon your name and worship you. We thank you for the worship team. We thank you for the young people in church today. We thank you for the elderly people in church today. We thank you for our presence. And we pray that you may speak to us through your word, encourage us, lift our spirits, open our eyes and show us your vision, show us what you want us to do, and give us the grace to do it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we say thank you, Lord, for your presence today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter number 13. Numbers chapter number 13. I want to talk about understanding times and God's plan for our lives. Understanding the times that we are living in and God's will or God's plan for our lives. In Numbers chapter number 13, I'll read from verse number 1 to verse number 3, and I'll jump to verse number 20. This is now God speaking to Moses. As you know the story, they have left Egypt, they've passed the Red Sea, and now they are in the wilderness, and God is doing instructing the Israelites on what to do through his servant Moses. In verse number 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men." I want you to take note of that word which says send men. And that word men stands for people in our day. Send people. Hallelujah. Which means if God or if Moses is to send people, there must be of necessity a people who are willing to be sent, who are willing to go. Hallelujah. So he says, send men to go and spy the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. Verse number 3, so Moses sent them. So Moses actually did it, and then he sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord. So we jump a long list of the names of people who were sent from the 12 different tribes, and we come to verse number 20, where it says, Moses said to them. Now Moses is instructing the people that he is sending. He says, number one, be of good courage, right? And bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. It was the season. I want you to take note of the word season. It was a time of the season. Now the time was the season. Those are very critical words. Hallelujah. And verse number 21, then it says, so they went. In other words, they agreed to be sent and they went. Now, because we understand from the five books of the law that God says he was going to give people a prophet like Moses, referring to Jesus, so we want to look at some similarities as to what these both men said, what Jesus and what Moses said. We want to compare some things and see where we can see some similarities. So just as Moses set the vision for the 12 spies within the 40 years of their journey before he died, remember, it was within the 40 years, and this is about the time Moses was about to die. He was not going to get into the promised land. So it was within the 40 years. Take note of that. So we jump to Mark's account of the, you know, of the time when Jesus had just resurrected from the dead and he was busy articulating the vision just before he ascended. Now, we are in the days of ascension, like the pastor have already said. Jesus ascended into heaven 40 days from the day of his resurrection, and then 10 days later becomes the day of Pentecost. So we are in the days between the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension, as it were. Hallelujah. So now, Moses, it was within the 40, it was within the 40 years. And now Jesus comes and he rises from the dead, and within the 40 days before his departure, he comes with the instruction that sounds like what Moses was told to tell the people of Israel in the wilderness. We look at Mark's account in chapter number 16. And we're looking at verse number 14 to verse number 20. It says in verse number 14, later he appeared to the 11. Now, this was after his resurrection. He appears to the 11. What happened to the other one? The other one had committed suicide because he had sold out. He had betrayed Jesus. And what happens now? Jesus comes to these guys and he finds them seated at a table. Now they were sitting at the table. Jesus rises from the dead. He comes to his people with a mission and a mandate. He finds them sitting. They were not doing anything. They were sitting at the table. So what does he do? He is not happy with them. Verse number 14. He rebukes them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. The Bible calls their failure to do what Jesus was expecting them to do, and their unbelief, Jesus, you know, calls it hardness of the heart. And he says, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Verse number 15, and he said to them, now he is writing the vision. Remember, the vision, you know, for the church was written not before Jesus had died, not after Jesus had ascended into heaven, but within the 40 days. Within the 40 days before his ascension, that's when Jesus now writes the vision. And this will include the words that we find in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and even Acts chapter number 1. He's trying to instill the vision into these guys. What does he say to them? He says, go. He tells them to go. He tells them to go. Just like Moses was told by God to tell the people to go. So he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is baptized and will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, the issue of salvation, Jesus makes it now clear that it becomes a question of a personal choice. You decide to believe and you are saved. You decide not to believe, there are consequences of not believing. Jesus has made it very, very clear. In verse number 17, he says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Next time I come from Zimbabwe, I'll bring you a clip when those people that you see will be casting out demons. When a demon makes a mistake of manifesting in any of our services, it will meet with the wrath of the people of God. It will be cast out so much that it will never come back again. So he says, you cast out demons. They will take up serpents and they will drink. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm or hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. So then the day of ascension then arrived. After he had written the vision, after he had told the church what the church was supposed to do, he told them, you will speak with tongues, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit for a purpose. He makes it clear in the book of Acts chapter number 1. And says, when you will go and you'll preach the gospel, you'll cast out devils, you'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. You will tell people to repent. Those who repent will be saved. Those who refuse, that's their own problem. And then the Bible says in verse number 20, and they went out. That sounds familiar. They went and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Now, the difference here is when the Israelites went, Moses did not go with them because he was just Moses. But in the New Testament, Jesus sends them. And as they go, Jesus does not leave them to go on their own. He goes with them. That is one thing the church has to be confident about. That whatever we do for God, whenever we go with the gospel, we are not going alone. But he is going with us. Hallelujah. I would want to say to us today, remember that the Bible tells us that without the vision, people perish. That's what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. Or they will lose restraint, as some version says, or they will lose direction. So what is vision? What is vision? Vision is a picture of what must be, which is not yet, but which must become as we take action. So the vision, the Bible says in the book of Habakkuk, in the end, it will speak. How is it going to speak? The vision will need or take a vision writer, somebody who writes the vision, who tells the church what must be done and how it must be done. So there is the vision writer. And then the Bible says, he says, make it clear. So the vision must be made clear so that those who read it, there must be then readers. There is the writer, but then there is readers of the vision. So those who read it must understand it. Because if they don't understand it, then they can't do anything about something that they don't understand. For you to do something, you must have a full understanding of what you are doing. So then the runners will run with the vision. They will run with the vision. So according to what Jesus says, Jesus is writing the vision. After he is gone into heaven, he gives gifts to men. Men who must stand in his place, Ephesians chapter number 4, who must then write the vision and then equip the church so that the church may read the vision and understand the vision very clearly and then begin to run with the vision and not just to sit down like they did in verse number 14 of Mark chapter number 16. So then the vision, when somebody runs with the vision, then the Bible says the vision will speak. In other words, it will come to pass. In other words, it will happen. If Jesus knew that people were not going to get saved, he wouldn't have sent us to go and preach the word of God. But because he knew that when the word of God is preached, even the worst of sinners will get saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So now the challenge remains with the church to understand the vision. Hallelujah. And then run with the vision. Many times I've seen that people make a mistake of expecting the pastor, the servant of God, to run with the vision. But according to my understanding of the word of God, it is not the pastor who runs with the vision. The pastor writes the vision. And when he has written the vision, it is the church people who are sitting in the pews who must then read the vision and understand the vision and then begin to run with the vision. The vision only speak when church people run with the vision.
Hallelujah.
You know, in these last days, God is on the move. God is on the move in these last days.
Hallelujah.
You know, what Joel said was going to happen, definitely it is happening. Especially when he talks in chapter 2 about the young and the old. Let me give you a testimony. I told you about the drum. You saw a drum set where the young man was sitting in a corner in that drum set. During our Easter conference, you know, it so happened that something dramatic, something supernatural happened. One of our old people, I pastored that lady for over 25, 30 years. I pastored her. I didn't know one thing. I always assumed, but I didn't know that she never got filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking other tongues. I didn't know that she did not, you know, receive the Holy Spirit and was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that. But some 15 or so years earlier, this woman fell sick. And the daughter called me and said, "Pastor, my mother is sick and nigh unto death." So I drove from the office and ran to their house. When I got to their house, she was not there. She had been taken to the hospital. I made a U-turn. I drove to the hospital. And when I got in the hospital, she was in the A&E. Now she was lying on the bed. And when I looked at her, you know, I just heard the voice of God say to me, you know, "Cast out the spirit of death." So I touched her. She was stone cold. Her feet were so cold. She was cold, 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 cold. And she couldn't move her hands anymore. And I knew that if I took 2 more minutes before I cast out the spirit of death, this woman was going to be history. So I just cast out and I say, "In the name of Jesus, you foul spirit of death, I bind you and I cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ." And she got healed. So I left the hospital. They took her into the examination room. So they spent maybe one, two, 3 hours with her. And they discharged her. They sent her to go back home. So which means her problem was a spiritual problem. Hallelujah. But now, what happened? The same lady. What happened this Easter conference is that now she was praying and she was there in church. You know, you saw the congregation. She was at the far back, you know. So God began to move. I said, God is on the move. And when God is moving, we must move with God. Hallelujah. If we try to move out of season, then it means we will have missed out on what God is doing. Now the people began to pray like you saw they were praying. Now people began to pray and she found herself on the ground. Now she was crying. She was sweating. Mucus was all over her face. And from, she doesn't know how she came from the back seat where she always loved to sit, and she was kneeling in front. And as she knelt in front, nobody talked to her or spoke to her about speaking with other tongues. She found herself, you know, speaking in tongues at 150 miles per hour. She was just speaking tongues and she was on fire. And then she says, now this is what she tells me. And then she says, Bishop, I opened my, I don't know how I came to the front, and I was, you know, crying, sweating, and I was even ashamed of what I was doing. And then she says, when I opened my eyes and looked into that corner where the drums are, I saw two giants. There were two giants standing there, and they were looking at me, and they were looking around, you know, they were looking over the church. When, but and I couldn't keep my eyes on them because the light that was coming from them, it was just too much for my eyes. You know, it got me afraid. I got terrified. So I got terrified. I bowed my head and I began to pray in tongues some more. She increased the speed from 150 miles to, I don't know. Now she was praying. Now she wanted, when she wanted to stop praying in tongues, she couldn't. She continued to pray in tongues. She couldn't. She continued praying. She couldn't stop. Continued to pray in tongues. So this guy didn't. And I said to her, what were these two men like? So she says, these two men, they were big. They were dressed in white. But I couldn't look or identify their faces. They were just covered in white. And I said, so God is on the move. You saw angels and you are still alive. You saw the angels of God. God must be telling you something. You know, because sometimes she loved to come to church and sometimes she doesn't come to church. And now you see, you know, this is your second experience. But the second experience was different from the first experience, the same woman. Hallelujah. And it convinced me that God is on the move. As if that was not enough, the day I arrived, the following day, the pastor sent me a text message. Pastor, are you ready for Harrogate? And I said, I'm ready. So we drove to, Brother Claudio drove us to Harrogate. What I saw in the conference center in Harrogate further convinced me that God is seriously on the move. If God is not doing anything in your life, you might think nothing is happening. But there is a lot happening, and God is on the move. I saw young people singing and dancing and worshiping God. I saw young people answering the call of God. I saw young people on the move, on the march for the kingdom of God. And I said, oh yeah, the devil is in serious trouble. Atheism is in serious trouble. Ungodliness, sin is in serious trouble. And I said, yeah. This is what God can do, and this is beautiful. Hallelujah. You know, and what the other thing that convinced me that God is on the move is, I saw in the media how a certain judge, I can't remember which town, but here in the United Kingdom, where the judge made a ruling that, now there was this debate about defining who is, because of this transgender thing, now they were defining in the court of law who is female and who is male. And remember, some people, you know, heard from whoever they heard from that God made a mistake and you are a man in a female body. You know, but now this judge now gives a ruling and he says now, he gives a definition and he says, we will say a female is what you originally were. Before other ideas came into your mind. That what you originally were. You know, now this is coming from the gods. And I said, yes, God is on the move. Hallelujah. You are female because God, you were female originally. Not because you are a man who decided that now I want to be. And I said, yes, yes, hallelujah. What you decided later doesn't really. And I thought to myself, I got some mischievous thoughts in my head. And I said, if you transformed yourself from one gender to another gender, I guess you kept the parts that you removed from your body. Because on the day when Jesus comes, you must have the right parts on your body. Hallelujah. 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 Because God is on the move. God is not joking. God is not playing games. Hallelujah. God is on the move, and we must focus on what God is doing. We must focus on what God is doing, and we must be part of the move of God. Hallelujah. Now, where we read here, we see that God was on the move. God was on the move, and the Israelites didn't recognize it. They didn't realize that God was on the move, and they were on the move with God. When they moved out of Egypt, came to the Dead Sea, God divided the Red Sea, and they passed. They didn't realize that God was on the move, and they were on the move with God. And when now Moses says to them, I want you to go and spy the land, they did not realize that it was part of the move of God. Hallelujah. Earlier on, God had commanded Aaron and his sons to light the lamps of the menorah, which is also known as the candlestick. You see, the candlestick was made of one lamp of gold, and it had seven fingers. It was made of one pounded lamp of gold, purified and all impurities removed. And, you know, and the crafters would do, then move fingers from the lamp. It had no joints. If you read your Bible properly, it had no joints. From one lamp, the seven fingers they made these seven lampstands from the one lamp. It had no joint, which speaks of the purity of the church and the unity that must prevail in the house of God.
Hallelujah.
Two things the lampstand stand for. It shows that we must be a pure people before God. We must endeavor, we must fight for purity. And number two, we must fight for unity, because there were no joints. And unity, hallelujah. And then this lampstand was supposed to have seven lights burning. And now God had instructed Moses to tell Aaron to light the candlestick. We know when Jesus puts it in this way, he says, you are the light of the world. And then this light was supposed to come from the menorah or the candlestick, which had been made out of one lump of gold, which had no joints, you know, and that was supposed to be the picture of the church. But remember, the tribe of Levi was the one chosen to become a tribe of priests, you know, and they were initiated into the service of the sanctuary by Moses. You know, the tribe of Levi, they were the Levites who were supposed to handle all these candlesticks and lighting of these candles. But remember what Peter says when he came, when Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, he says, we are the chosen. We are the called out ones of God. We are a royal priesthood. As you sit there, child of God, you are part of the royal priesthood, so that you may offer, so that you may light that light, so that you may exhibit that unity and that purity that must come from the candlestick. Hallelujah. So our priesthood, has nothing to do with the priest of Levi in these days. Because when Jesus came, the Bible says he came after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 17. So Jesus, our high priest, did not come from the house of Levi. Hallelujah. He came from the house of Judah, the house of praise. So that's why we don't have to be natural children of Levi to worship and to serve God. Hallelujah. No, because our present day priesthood has nothing to do with the priesthood of Levi. It has everything to do with the priesthood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
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 So now, we see now that the candlestick, the candles are burning and things are happening. And now in the wilderness, God is moving with them. And now God decides now it is time to test the faith of his people. And he tells Moses, I want you to send 12 spies. Go and check out on the promised land. And before you possess it, I want you to go and check out what is happening. But remember, God was now trying to find out what these people were made of, what was in them. And the Bible says, to see what was in them. He allowed them to hunger. He allowed them to suffer. Why? To see what was in them. Many times in life, as we journey with Jesus Christ, we face moments in our journey of faith where God does not tempt us, because God does not tempt us, but where God tests us. Why a test? If you go to school, they put some material into you. At the end of the term, they test you to see what they put in you, if it is in there. They don't tempt you. In school, you don't get tempted. You get tested. Hallelujah. So now God, because he had put some things in his people, he had shown his people his miracles, his love, his care, his power, his glory. Now it was time to test his people to see what was in them. And many times it happens to us as we journey with the Lord. God, there are moments when he comes to us to test us to see what is in us. And unfortunately, many times when we are tested by God, many times we fail. We get 10%, 1 out of 100, 2 out of 100. We get 1 out of 50, many times. And we are busy complaining and whining. So, but anyway, most God says to these guys, I want you to go and see the land, because in that land, we must possess it. We must take it. People of God, there is a land to be taken for God. There are souls to be won for God. We are living in the last days, and the clock is ticking very fast. The devil knows that his time is short. It's only the church which does not know that the time is running out. But the devil is very much aware. So that's why God is doing a new thing in the nation. That's why we are seeing the move of God. So much revival among the young people. A strange or a desire, a new desire in young people to serve God, to do things. It's not natural. It is supernatural. It is God at work. Hallelujah. So we are in a season of revival. Hallelujah. And God is on the move, like I said. Hallelujah. And in this move of God, I want you to understand me properly, children of God. In this move of God, God is using two groups of people. As we see in this passage of scripture that we read, God is using two groups of people. Number one, he is using the younger generation. So it is the younger generation that, especially those who were born in the wilderness, they are the ones that made it into the promised land, the younger generation. It is the younger generation that must move in and possess the land. Why? Because, number one, because of their age. Number two, because of their willingness, because of their innocence, plus because of their daring attitude. When young people catch something, they catch it. And when young people decide to do something, they do it. They don't reason and rationalize and budget. Young people just do it. They just go. They just do it. Hallelujah. So in this move of God, God is using the younger generation. God is using the younger generation. But see, the good thing about God, he is not writing out the old people. He is using also the older people whom the Bible says have another spirit. With another spirit. So the move of God is for the younger generation and the older generation with another spirit. So the older generation has to qualify. They have to have another spirit, because there is another spirit. So they have to have another, which is different from the earth. Hallelujah. But the young people, because they are daring and they are ready to go, they are ready to willing, they are ready to serve God, they are ready to go, the young God is using the younger generation. Hallelujah. So in verse number 20 of Numbers chapter number 13, you know, in those instructions, God speaks of three things that he says. Number one, he says, hey, these spies, these people who are part of the move of God, who are part of the vision, who must run with the vision, right? Number one, they must be of good courage. You have to be courageous. You have to be of good courage. What does courage mean? Courage is the quality of being single-minded, focused, ready, and willing to face any challenging situation involving danger or pain. A good synonym is bravery. They have to be brave. Hallelujah. Nobody has ever done. Nobody will ever do. Nobody will ever achieve anything for the work of God if they lack courage. If they don't have the courage. You know, Joseph did the will of God in his generation. He had the courage. Moses had the courage to do it. Even David had the courage to unleash a giant called Goliath. And he put him to sleep while the older generation was telling Joseph to be sensible and to be reasonable. Because of his courage, David moved in. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And put Goliath to sleep. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The younger generation. Hallelujah. So it's time for Davids to rise. It's time for young Samuels. Hallelujah. To rise and, you know, to rise to the occasion and do the will of God. Courage is a preparedness to pay the price of serving God. Hallelujah. We can talk about saving God. We can plan. We can have strategies. But doing the will of God is different. It just needs courage. It is taking one's cross and following him, like Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 24. He said, if you want to follow me, take your cross. Hallelujah. And there's something about the cross. The cross is not a place of tea and coffee. The place is a place of nails. Hallelujah. The nails, you find nails. There are no biscuits on the cross. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There are no cakes on the cross. There are only nails on the cross. And Jesus says, if you want to be part of this move, hallelujah, you must be prepared for nails. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The thing that you see near the cross is the nails and a hammer. Those are the only two things, not cakes and teas. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Paul says, you know, Paul says, because Paul understood it, Paul says, When he was giving his testimony in Acts chapter number 20, he was talking about courage. You know, some prophets had prophesied, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem because this will be awaiting you. And Paul says to them, I know the terrible things that you're talking about, that they are waiting for me. But you know what, guys? You know what, guys? Since I got this vision, since I saw the vision, since I understood the vision, since I understood, and since I understand the times that I am living in, none of these things move me. None.
Hallelujah.
None of these things
Hallelujah.
Move me. Hallelujah. And that's why he says, for me to live, it is Christ. But to die, I have to. I die if necessary. I don't care about dying because we are all going to die. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So in Philippians 2:21, he says, for me to live is Christ. Hallelujah. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he narrates the hardships that he went through the because of the gospel. How they were shipwrecked, how they suffered hunger, how they spent sleepless nights because of the gospel. Because he understood the times. He understood the vision. He understood what God wanted him to do at the time. Hallelujah. Oh, the verse that fascinates me is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 31, where Paul says, I die daily. You die daily until the day your final death comes.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Until your death certificate is written. But you have to die daily. If you ever imagine yourself dying daily, yesterday you died, and today you are dying, and tomorrow you are dying. You are not sure when you will be finally dead. But you are prepared to die daily. The reason why the will of God is so difficult to achieve is because, like in according to the words of Jesus, if you are willing to preserve your life, if you are not willing to lay down your life,
take up your cross and follow him. You can't die daily. You have to evade death on a daily basis. You try to avoid sacrificing for the kingdom. You try to avoid the hardships that come with serving God. Hallelujah. But Paul says, I die daily until I finally die. Hallelujah. You know, I remember when I came to the ministry, when I joined the ministry. I got into the ministry when I was young, when I was very young. You know, I'd been in the Bible school, and then after Bible school, the church that I was with, then I felt God calling me to go to another man of God and serve God with this other man of God. So I went to him and I said, man of God, God wants me to serve God under you. And then he tells me, he was very candid with me. And he said, Gomba, you want to serve, I encourage you to keep your job. Because he knew my background. He knew that I was the first of 8 siblings with a sick father and an illiterate mother who was doing nothing. So my little job was helping to sustain my family. So he said, I don't encourage you to leave your job and join the ministry. I encourage you to keep your job. You know why? Because you will have to pray for the food that you eat. Even for the water that you drink, you have to believe God for it. Today we find bottles of water, free water in church. But back then, you had to pray even for the water that you... And so he told me, go and pray about it. You have to believe God for clothes. You have to believe God for everything that you... And I said, he said, go and think about it. I didn't have to go and think about it. Because I had thought about it. So I simply said to him, I am in. I don't know where the courage came from. Hallelujah. Because child of God, if you want to save God, Moses says to the spies, be of good courage. You can't save God if you lack courage. You can't save God if you are a coward. The kingdom of God is not for cowards. The kingdom of God is for the courageous, for the brave. For those who are willing to die daily. For those who are willing to go without food. It is for those who are willing to pay the price. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Paul was from another school. He was from a different school. He says, people love to call, Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And they mean a lot of things, which I will not talk about now. But Paul says, if food is available, hallelujah. If food is not available, praise the Lord. In all things, I have learned to be content. Hallelujah. Because I can do all things. I can go hungry. I can eat good food. Hallelujah. Praise God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the time that we are in. Because we are in the last days. There is so much pleasure around. So much that it will take courage in the people of God to be willing to pay the price of saving God.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Let me be honest with you. It will take you courage to leave your friends and say, no. I'm no longer going to those places that we were going together. I'm no longer going with you. I'm now following Jesus. It will take courage to do that. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. To leave your peers that you used to smoke with, that you used to sniff stuff with and say, no, me, I'm now a changed person. It will take courage. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But that courage will save you. That courage will bless you. Huh? Because of that courage, God will do things through your life. Hallelujah. It will take courage for you to call off a shift and say, there is fasting and prayer announced for 10 days. I am going to fast. And it will take courage for people to fast for 10 days.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let me say what I said before. The fear of fasting is more painful than the actual fasting. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're actually feeling the pain right now. Some of you need healing because you are fearing, because of the pain of the fast that has been announced. Before even you have started fasting. Because the fear of fasting is more painful than the actual fasting. But it will take courage. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It takes courage to raise your hands and worship God. It takes courage to say, oh no, me, I am joining the Bible school. I want to get trained in ministry. I want to become part of the kingdom of God. I've been trying to pursue this. I've been trying to pursue that. But I think I want to serve God.
I want to go into a Bible school for 3 years, for 4 years. I want to become an equipped minister of the gospel because I want to preach the word of God. Hallelujah. It will take courage. It takes courage. It takes faith. It takes conviction. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not for the faint-hearted. It is for those who realize that there is another life after this life. Hallelujah. Actually, when Jesus was talking about being courageous, he put it in more radical terms than Paul would say it. Hallelujah. He said, if you don't die, you are not worthy to follow me. If you don't die. Because if you keep your life, you lose it anyway. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So, once God lays it upon your heart, your value system will change. Hallelujah. Your value system will change and you'll be prepared to do whatever God impresses upon your heart. That's why you hear men like Paul says to Timothy, his son, my son, Timothy, my son, like a good soldier, you must endure hardships. Hallelujah. In other words, saving God was hard. So Paul says to his son, oh, endure hardship. Because through trials, temptations, and hardships, we enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. One of the things that excited me was when Stephen was being stoned. You know, the Bible says Jesus ascended into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. But when Stephen was being stoned, Jesus was not sitting at the right hand of God. He was standing. And Stephen said, I see Jesus standing. When you go through some of these things, Jesus gives you a standing ovation. And you think God is not listening, God is not seeing, but Jesus will be giving you a standing ovation like he gave to Stephen. Hallelujah. But it takes courage. It takes courage. It takes people who read the vision and say, this is the vision that we must run with. People must hear the gospel. And I am not going to sit down. I am going to run with the vision. Number two, the thing that he said in that same verse, he says, bring some of the fruit of the land. Bring some of the fruit of the land. Not everything will come, but some of the fruit of the land. So they went in his teachings, Jesus. In his teachings and parables, Jesus always referred to souls as the fruit of the field or as the harvest. He said, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. We need more laborers. Hallelujah. It takes those who have the courage and the eyes to see the need, to see the harvest, to go and bring in the harvest. Hallelujah. You will have the time to do it. You will have the passion to do it. And better still, God will give you the grace to do it. Hallelujah. Not everything that you see in the streets is wheat. And not everything that you see in the streets is tares. Hallelujah. You don't know the difference between the wheat and the tares. So you just preach the word of God to everybody. You don't know what will come in and what will not. Hallelujah. So Moses says to these guys, bring in some of the land. Bring in some. Bring in some. And when you bring, hallelujah, hallelujah, we will see what the fruit is like. Hallelujah. So when they went out there into the promised land, they spied the land, they saw some of the fruit, and they had to carry clusters of grapes. You know, the way they carried them, they were so heavy. It speaks of, the Bible says, the clusters were so heavy. You know, I don't know, here in this place, we don't carry things the way we do in Africa. In Africa, we carry things like this. Come here. You know, sometimes we put clusters and we are laboring with the clusters. And that speaks of responsibility. Hallelujah. But sometimes what we do is we carry like this. We put the clusters here and we are moving and we are carrying the clusters. Hallelujah. So that's what we, so he says, bring. But when you bring, as you bring, you have to bring on your shoulders. You have to be responsible. The neck, the work of God, the move of God. It needs people with shoulders. People who can put things on their shoulders. People who take responsibility over the fruit of the land. Over the people who get saved. They need people, the kingdom of God needs people with shoulders. Who are willing to offer their shoulders. Hallelujah. To the work of God so that we may carry the fruit of the land.
Hallelujah.
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 No, I told you that not everything that you see outside must come to church. Some may come, some may not. You know, when I was in Bible school, there was a missionary called Reverend Haynes of the Dutch Reformed Church. He was my mentor in Bible school. So he was trying to address this theological conundrum of the word predestined or predestination. So he gave me an explanation and he says, you know, my son, predestination or predestined, you know, some religious people misunderstand it. Some people, you know, because they don't want to go and preach the word of God, they say those who are predestined to come are the ones who will come. They will spontaneously come. But he says, there is nothing like that, my son. Let me explain the word to you. And he says, you know, it's like a big building. And outside, when you come here to church, you see the sign, Way Church is there. There's a big billboard, really. Come! It's for free, all of you. Come, 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 come. And the door is open. Those who are reading it, and those who, they come in, they come inside. They come inside. Some read it, and they pass. But some read it, and I want to get in. So they get in. So he was explaining the word predestination or predestined. Hallelujah. So he says to me, son, from outside, there is this big billboard that says, all of you come. But when you get inside, there is a smaller notice board, which is on the door. It says, congratulations, you are the chosen ones. You are the predestined ones. So the choice, so he says, the predestination is a choice. Predestination is a choice. Because the invitation says, come. But when you get inside, once you are inside, that's when you realize that you have been chosen. That's why you are inside. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. You are chosen. That's why you are inside. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the decision is yours to pass by or to come in. And once you are inside, you don't seek to go out because you are inside. Now you understand that you have been chosen. You have been chosen. You are here because you have been chosen. You are here because you have been chosen. You are here because we are all here because we have been chosen for the purposes and the plans of God.
Hallelujah.
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 So there is no confusion. The word predestination or predestined, that becomes invalid. That argument becomes invalid. So we don't know who is predestined and who is not. It depends on their choice. We go out and we bring the fruit of the land. Number three, he says, because it was time of the ripe grapes. Why did he send them? Because it was time of the ripe grapes. It was time. Hallelujah. It is very important for every child of God, especially the leaders of the church, to know what time or what season it is. Otherwise, a church will slip and doze and snore at the wrong time. The church will party at the wrong time. Hallelujah. Jesus found them seated and partying and eating at the wrong time. Because they didn't know what time it was. Church, we have to know what time it is.
Hallelujah.
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 We have to know what time it is. Praise God.
Amen.
First Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 13 says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Israel is the church. Among the sons of Issachar were some of the brethren who had the ability, who had the capacity, who had the wisdom and the understanding to know what the church ought to do. So those who know what the church ought to do, they must speak it out to the church and say, hey guys, as a church, it's time for us to fast for 10 days. Because those who know have spoken. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And then the verse continues. And their chiefs were 200. And all the brethren, all their brethren were at their command. In other words, the brethren were willing the brethren were willing to fast for 10 days. Because among the sons of Issachar who knew the times, had said, let us fast for 10 days. And the brethren were, because they knew times.
Hallelujah.
Because they knew the times.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Number one, sons of Issachar understood the times. Number two, they knew what was supposed to be done. Number three, the brethren were willing to do what the church ought to be. The church, people, the church will only be as relevant as its ability to discern the move of God and move with the times. If we lack that ability to discern what time it is and move with the times, we will fall into the trap which the 10 spies fell into. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. It was time for the ripe grapes. Number two, it needed those with courage. Number three, they had to bring in the fruit. That sounds like the Great Commission of Mark chapter number 16 and Matthew chapter number 28 to me. I don't know what it sounds like to you, but to me it's like the church is being told, hey, God is on the move. This is the season. This is what the church ought to do. There are many other things that we can do, but this is what the church ought to do. And the church must do what it ought to do.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And remember, it was within the 40 days. It was within the 40 years of their journey. And remember, Jesus was giving this instruction within the 40 days before his ascension, which means there is something special about the 40 days. In 40 days, what's special about 40 days? The Bible has a lot to say about 40 days. Hallelujah. In 40 days, we know the rain fell. It had never happened. The rain, you know, water used to come out of the ground. But in Genesis chapter 7, for 40 days, it rained, water coming. For 40 days, Moses stayed in Egypt. For 40 days, he stayed in Midian. For 40 years, he stayed in Midian and in Egypt. For 40 years, he led the people of God. But for 40 days, he stayed in the mountain receiving the law of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus. And for 40 days, Nineveh had to hear the gospel and they had to respond. And for 40 days, Goliath came out every day in the morning and in the afternoon, challenging the people of Israel, telling strong men of Israel, tell them, you are women. You are people of Israel. You are women. You are weak and you are nothing. Send me a man that he may fight me. Send me a man. For 40 days, there was no response because Saul didn't know what time it was. And he was not willing to move with the move of God until this young man stepped forward and said, this uncircumcised Gentile, how can he defy the armies of God like that? I will go in and out. He was a young person. He was a young person. He had no beard at the time. People with beard were sitting there. David had no beard. And he said, I will take this one. I will silence him. I will put him to sleep. And he put him to sleep, the Bible says, and Goliath fell face down. Face down. The Bible says he fell face down because of a young man who knew the times. And Jesus was stated 40 days and 40 nights. Hallelujah. And now Jesus rises from the dead and he spends 40 days in waiting, in writing the vision. So the 10 spies could not understand the move of God. Hallelujah. All they brought was negative news. They brought complaining. They brought whining. They complained and they complained and they complained and they complained. And until God was angry with them, until God made a vow and he said, these guys will not enter into my rest. Hallelujah. And that's how they failed to enter into God's promise, because of fear and because of unbelief. Hallelujah. And at some point, then God says to Moses, you know what, Moses? I am going to destroy all these people, and I am going to start afresh with you. And Moses said, no, I'm I don't know. You can't do that. Then Moses appealed to God. Number one, he appealed to the merciful nature of God. And he says, Father, remember that you are a merciful God. Hallelujah. And number two, he says, remember your reputation. If you do that, the people of the nations will say, oh, God started on a project that he couldn't deliver. That's why he took the people of Israel out of Egypt and destroyed them in the wilderness. Because he's a weak God. He couldn't finish what he started. So Moses interceded with God. And God said, all right, I have pardoned them. I have pardoned them. However, they will not move into the promised land. Hallelujah. As I conclude today, there are four lessons that we learned today. Four lessons that we must pick from this service today. Hallelujah. Lesson number one. We need to be people of faith. Seeing ourselves as children of the kingdom of God, children of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who understand the plans and the purposes of God for our time. We are not some grasshoppers somewhere. Hallelujah. We are children of God who understand the times, who can move with God. Hallelujah. Supporting the young people when they are on the move. Old people who are there who have another spirit. Spirit of prayer. Spirit of intercession. Spirit of giving. Hallelujah. We have another spirit. Not a complaining spirit, but another spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's lesson number one. We must see ourselves as children of God, people of faith. Hallelujah. And this is the kind of faith that pleases God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Number two, we are people of faith and we need to guard our speech, and what we speak must be faith-filled. Hallelujah. These guys always said, no, we can't do it. No, we can't do it. No, we can't do it. And God took them at their word. They always say, oh, you took us in the wilderness to die. Oh, we would rather die in the land of Egypt where there was onion and garlic and lettuce. And God said, according to your word, be it unto you. And they died according to their word in the wilderness. So what do we learn? We learn that as children of faith, we need to guard our speech and speak faith-filled words, knowing that whatever we decide to do for God, we will do it. We will accomplish it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number three, we need to repent of all unbelief. Hallelujah. Amen. And confidently trust our God that we are in the house of God for such a time as this. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are in the house of God for such a time as this, that we may bring the word of God to the nations. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, Israel were suddenly remorseful. They repented. They tried to repent and correct their behavior. And they tried to go to war to fight Amalekites and Cain and Canaan. You know, but Moses said, oh, guys, don't go and fight Amalek and Canaan because you missed the move of God. If you do that, you will perish, you will be destroyed. And they went and they got destroyed. Number one, because they had missed the season. Hallelujah. Number two, they had missed the move of God. And they were trying to do the things of God out of season. So we as the people of God, we must try and do things within the season.
Hallelujah.
Understanding seasons of God and God's plans and purposes for our lives. Hallelujah.
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 So the 10 spies died in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb, they made it into the promised land. The older generation made it because they had another spirit. The younger generation, 20 and below, they made it. Hallelujah. God is using the younger generation, brethren. God is using the younger generation. And we must join the younger generation. We must put the younger generation in their place where they belong, where they can serve God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Where they preach like my favorite preacher. I always tell her that she is my favorite preacher. Hallelujah. She's my favorite preacher. Hallelujah. God is you. Number four, and finally, praise God. We should humble ourselves. Hallelujah. And totally give ourselves to spiritual disciplines as prescribed in God's word.
Hallelujah.
Disciplines like fasting and intercession and prayer and sharing of the gospel, praying for the nations, praying for our families, praying for people, praying for the salvation of, praying for our cities and all that. We must be a people of faith and doing that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, faith moves mountains. I've heard people say, faith moves mountains. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do we agree?
Amen.
Faith moves mountains.
Amen.
But faith moves us into the presence of God. It moves mountains, but it moves us into the promises and the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
What am I saying? I am challenging the church to move into the presence of God. Let's take time to fast and to pray and to believe God for what God is about to do. People are praying like never before. They are fasting like never before. They are experiencing the move of God like never before. God is moving among young people like never before. Old people are receiving visitations like never before. Things are happening. Let's be part of what God is doing. Let us move with the move of God.
Hallelujah.
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 Let us clap our hands to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I will ask us to stand on our feet right now. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Just pray before, I will pray before I invite the pastor to pray. And I think it's a good moment, it's a good time to pray and dedicate our young people in the house. And even all those of the older generation who have another spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, let's raise our hands to God. Let's just submit ourselves to the will of God. Let's submit ourselves to the purposes of God. Just say to God, Lord, let your will be done in my life. Just want you to say that, Lord, let your will be done in my life. Lord, your will be done in my life. Lord, your will. It's just your will. Your will be done in my life. Your will be done. Your will be done, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you open our eyes, my Father. Open our eyes and our hearts and our spirits that we may see, that we may be able to read and to see the vision that is before us. That we may be able to discern the times that we are in. That we may be able to discern what you want us to do. And that in obedience and faith,
yes,
we may rise and do the very same things that you put us in this world for, my Father. The very same things that you saved us for this hour and for this moment. We know that we are in the house of God and in the kingdom of God at such a time as this. It is not by mistake, but it is according to your plan. It is according to your design. I pray in the name of Jesus that in this place, you will raise young people who are totally given to God, who are totally given to the cause of God. I pray that in this place, you will raise prophets, you will raise apostles, you will raise evangelists, you will raise teachers of the word of God in the name of Jesus. I pray that the fivefold ministry will find its place in this house. In the name of Jesus, work through the old people who have another spirit. Work through the young people who are willing and who are obedient, who are ready to do the will of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that the devil is defeated. He has no portion in what God is doing. He has no room in what God is doing. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak the covering and the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ upon every child of God in this place, upon every child of God in this house. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the devil's hand be defeated and broken. His mandate broken in the name of Jesus Christ. We foil and disrupt all his plans for the people of God. We disrupt all his plans and all his purposes and hindrances for the people of God. Devil, we bind and we cast you out. We break your mandate. We break your hold. We break your influence in the name of Jesus. And we command and we tell you that you cannot stop the church from moving. You cannot stop the church from doing the will of God. You can't stop the church from marching on in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no room in our midst. You have no place in our midst. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, the voice of God shall be heard. It shall be spoken. The word of God shall be spoken in schools, in colleges, in workplaces, in supermarkets, in buses, every time, every place, the word of God shall be spoken. Because that's the will of God. That's the plan of God for the people of God. Because we can read and understand the times according to the will of God, according to the purposes of God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I invite the pastor to come to the front. Yeah.